Right. Let's take our Bibles and turn back to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Two angels have told Lot, said, you go and you tell everybody in your family. That's what they asked him in verse 12. The men said unto him, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast, whatsoever people in this city are of you, bring them out of this place. The cry is waxing great before the face of the Lord for the wickedness of Sodom, and God's going to destroy it. But when the sons-in-law hear the plea of Lot, they were told, you need to leave. We need to leave now. We got to get out of here now. It's night. The angels were just getting ready to lay down. Before they lay down, Scripture says in verse 4, before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. It was night. And the angel told him, said, you go tell your family. We got to get out of here. We got to go. We're going to have to leave this place. And the Scripture says that he seemed as one that mocked. The cry to let everything go, leave it all, was like a joke to them. You're kidding, right? Are you talking about everything we work for? Are you talking about it all? Are you talking about leave now? He was one that mocked them. He's jesting. That's what the word means. And let me ask you something. As I was going over these notes for tonight, I got to thinking, have we not experienced that even in our families? I'll tell some, you've done the same thing. You'll tell them, those in your family, say, listen, as I said last week, this is not a joke. It's all going to be over. And we're going to stand before God. And it's like we're fooling them. We're joking with them. It's just a fairy tale. It's just not real. The danger of those who hear the gospel being faithfully preached and count it as jesting. Eternity. Can you imagine? I can't even. Eternity. Separated from God. And the cry unto those that oppose themselves, the Scripture says, that the natural man treats this with such disrespect. I know this from experience. I did this. I remember before the Lord revealed himself to me. This wasn't a big deal. I mean, okay, well, we'll go to church. Yeah, okay, we go when we go. But, I mean, there's other things besides men and women start every day, they go about their lives just as though that they're going to live forever. And it's just things and mess and stuff is always more important. It's always something else. Tomorrow is going to be like today was, yesterday was, but there is coming a day in which the day of the Lord, the Scripture says, going to come as a thief in the night, a day when before a man or woman can blink their eye, the twinkling of an eye, just a glimmer, just a little bat of the eye, they're going to be standing before God in judgment. God sent, through these angels, sent Lot, you go tell your family. He gave them a faithful warning, and they just blew it off. Well, verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now this is very revealing, these words right here. When the morning arose, to understand really what they were saying concerning the morning. If you've ever been, I could see it if you're at the beach and you're looking out over the ocean. You know, you missed it on the trees and stuff like that. But if you're on the ocean, and it just looks like if you look out there and it's early, early, early morning. But you can just, I mean, it's just like just a little bit of a, I think I can see just a glimmer, just a little bit of the sun. It's just enough to where you can just tell the difference between the water and the horizon. It just, that's what he's talking about right here. Just a little hint of light when the morning arose. That's what it is. The day, the glimmer of the day was appearing, and the angels hastened Lot. That means they pressed him and hurried him, saying, Arise, stand up, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here. Now here we go. You take the two that are right here, the two that you said to the men of the city, I've got two daughters that's never known men. Take those two, the two that are here, the ones that are found, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Urgency was of the essence. That's what's going on, verse 15. Now, the scripture bears out when God destroyed Sodom. On this day, right here. I'll tell you when it is. Lord willing, we'll look at it next time. But verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. The sun was risen. Now, they made the statement in verse 15. It was just, just a hint. If you just I think I can see a little bit of light just coming up. That's when he told them. And verse 23 says, when the sun was risen. Now, I'll just share an experience with you. I was at the beach one time, got up real early in the morning, and I decided I was going to I was going to paint it. I was going to paint the sun rising. And I thought, the only way I can paint this is I just took my paper, and I folded it in half, then folded it again in half, and opened it up, and I got an X, and I got four little places. And the first one, when it was just a glimmer, I just painted that very quickly, and it came up a little bit more. I just barely saw just a little bit, you know, and I painted that one real quickly, and then it was up about halfway, and I painted that scene right there, and then there was the sun. It had actually come up over, and I painted that one real quickly. About 20 minutes. Is what it took me. About 20 minutes, four little paintings that of the sun rising. That's about how far the distance, but the time from verse 15 till about 23, about 20 minutes took place. Just, it was enough for the sun to rise. That's what it's when, verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth. That means that the sun was above the horizon. That's the understanding. When Lot entered into Zoar, and then verse 24 says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. So here's, listen, we've got minutes that we're dealing with here. And these angels are telling him, listen, you got to go, and you got to go now. You got to go. So here, while we're beholding the urging, which was that they were pressing Lot and his wife and his daughters, And then something astounding happened. Verse 16. And while he lingered, Now these angels know what's going on. And they're telling him, they know that God's going to destroy this place. And they realize the urgency of the moment, not the hour, the moment. And while he lingered, that is why he questioned, hesitated, and was found reluctant. Now, we're not told Lot's exact thoughts concerning this lingering. We just said, it just says, and while he lingered. But for sure, he lingered. He lingered. But as we behold his lingering, let me ask you, do we not all admit the struggles that we also possess? I mean, we're all too familiar with this body of sin which remains within us, that body which wars against our new man and questions and flounders and wavers and doubts. Someone said, I just can't understand. He had minutes. And he's lingering. Well, let me ask you this. What do we have? In a time when you think not, how do you know? How do we know? I can be sitting right here. We might have 20 minutes. We might have 1,000 years. I don't know. But do we not do the same thing? We're doing the same thing. Paul the Apostle related his struggles with the flesh, admitting that he knew that in him, that is in his flesh, there dwelt no good thing. We all question, we all hesitate, we all linger, but there was something that I thought about on this while he lingered that just struck me this morning. I was getting up here again, going over my notes. Glenda asked me one time, I told you this, how long does it take you to prepare a message? Brother Henry said 40 years. Is how long it takes to prepare a message. But for me, usually I'm finishing up while you're coming in. I'm kind of going over. And so I'm thinking on the message this morning early. And I got to thinking about this and why he lingered. I can only imagine the struggle within Lot. These angels are telling him, you got to go. You got to go now. You take your wife. Let's go. You take your wife. And the two daughters that are here. He had two daughters because he talked to his sons-in-law. He had two daughters that were still there. Can you imagine going through the struggle, considering I got two girls. I got two of my children that are still here. And he hesitated. He lingered. Talking about Glenda, how she told me one time, she said, if this house ever catches on fire, she said, you know what the first thing I'm going to grab? The pictures of my children. That's the first thing I'll get. Pictures of my kids. Rest of it, you know. He was thinking about his kids. There's an old man in all of us, and we all find reason, but it just hit me. He had pled with his sons-in-law. And they just treated it as jesting. And his girls were there. While he lingered, while he hesitated, the Lord, who never leaves nor forsakes his own, moved those angels to do exactly what they did. The scripture says, while he lingered, Those angels hastened Lot, said, take them. And verse 16, they laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. God has mercy and compassion on whomsoever he will. He hesitated. He lingered. But God pulled him out. Pulled him out. He who has saved us and called us is the same one who is saving us right now. According to his everlasting purpose and will to deliver us and shall deliver us unto the end. Now listen to this. You know, we talk about salvation as being something that happened. You know, and now scripture says, you know, that salvation's eternal. Who has saved us and called us Lord saved us. There was a time, a point in time when we were made aware of his salvation by faith. He told us about it. And we think of that time that, you know, of salvation. We're thinking of regeneration when God called us out of darkness. He saved us in a time, told us about it. But listen, let me tell you something. He is saving us right now. He is saving us. Salvation is eternal. We relate to it in time. But he saved us and is saving us and shall save us. Listen to this scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:10. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Salvation is of the Lord. It's eternal. I give unto them eternal life. And he is saving us right now. The faith with which we believed him yesterday, we need new faith today. We'll need faith tomorrow. God saves us. And so he took them. He took them. He saved them right now. This man that lingered. Lot was a just man. That's what 2 Peter 2:7 says. He delivered just Lot. That doesn't mean only Lot. It means justified Lot. One for whom Christ has eternally stood. One for whom Christ died. And though he lingered, the Lord, who is merciful, compassionate, did not forsake him. The angels brought him out, and how thankful we ought to be for him who is able. That's what we just sang. He's able to deliver us. Able to keep us from falling. He's able to keep us from falling. If the Lord left Lot to himself, what do you think he'd have done? I tell you, those 20 minutes were going by pretty fast. Able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 17, it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now, we read that 17th verse, and that language of that scripture reveals a marvelous truth that it was just, I read over that a few times, and then I read over that, and I read over that, and I saw something that just stopped me. I'm going to read it again. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, it appears up until this point, from the time that the angels had come into Lot's house, that the angels alone had been speaking and dealing with Lot. Verse 12 says, and the men said unto Lot, the angels. Verse 13, for we will destroy this place. Verse 15, when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters. But in verse 17, it says, it came to pass when they, that's the angels, brought them forth, he said, Now, who is this he? I'm not even going to speculate on this. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove this. He said, and this he is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that truth right there is only known by Lot's words in verse 18 where he said, "Oh, not so, my Lord, Adonai." The proper name of God only. That name right there. He said, here the Lord was revealed to be with Lot. He's there. He's in Sodom. And Lot heard the voice of the Lord Jesus, the Master, say, he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Words of mercy. 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 To whom did the Lord speak? In Sodom. Like I told you, I said they estimate that there were probably 500,000 people in those cities. 500,000. Who was God going to show mercy to? One man. And his family was the recipients of that. One. The scripture says, "Escape for thy life." Words of mercy and a promise of deliverance for this object of his mercy. And then verse 18 says, "And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord." Lot said unto them. Now, I want to say this. I'm not doubting that maybe the angels could have still been standing. I'm not doubting that. I mean, some say they went on into Lot. The scripture doesn't say that. I'm not saying that they couldn't have been standing still in the presence of the Lord with Lot standing there and possibly heard the words of Lot when he said, "And Lot said unto them." But the language doesn't seem to bear out that Lot was speaking to the angels. The language of it says that he's speaking to the Lord. "And Lot said unto them," them. He was speaking to one person. The Lord. Again, Adonai. I say that because that is the word that deals with only God. "And the Lord said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord." He wasn't speaking to all three, the two angels and the Lord himself. He's talking to the Lord. Lot was speaking to him, who is the express image of the Godhead. And it would appear that the Spirit of God moved Lot to address the Lord according to the glory of God's covenant mercy and compassion unto a people of his choosing. He's talking to him as the covenant God. Father, Son, Spirit. He who is the image of the Godhead. Bodily. Lot knew. He knew who he was talking to. So again, while Lot speaks, he seems to speak and talking to the Lord, but he still is questioning. And unbecoming, it appears as though, in the command of the Lord. When you'd read it, it'll say, "Oh, not so, my Lord." You know, do we not again behold that doubting, hesitating spirit about us? Will we ever get away from that? Not in this world. Not in this life. We'd think that we'd eventually learn. I'm never going to do that again. Let's don't kid ourselves. Let's don't say these kind of things, because I'm telling you, that old man is still with us and will be with us until we die, and we will go to our graves struggling against it. That old man is never improved. Surely I could learn a little bit. Flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh. And it's going to always remain flesh. That's all it ever is. But even in Lot's questioning of the Lord, and I looked at the wording of that, and I looked to see, oh, not so, my Lord. Some would say he said, is there any other way, Lord? But the Lord told him, said, go to the mountain. Is there any other way? Oh, not so, Lord. But here again, do we not behold the mercy and compassion of God toward the objects of his love? That the Lord told Lot to flee to the mountain. Now that there's a picture, beautiful picture. You flee to Christ. Flee to the rock. And Lot seeks permission to go to a little city. Listen to these. I'll read 18 to 22. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Again, who do you think he's talking to? You think he's talking to these angels? Listen to what he's saying. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. You know, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto. I read where Zoar was probably a couple of miles, give or take, from Sodom. Just about enough. He could make it in a few minutes, but you got to go. Now this city is near to flee unto, and it is little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape hither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Lord, there's this little city. If I go to the mountains, evil may overtake me, but this little city, I began to think on Lot's thinking, and I don't want to speculate, but I was just wondering, you know, it's just a little one. It's just a little one. Now this big one right here that I've been in, soul was vexed every day with the wickedness of that city. Vexed him to see what was going on in that place. But now this one over here, it's just a little one. It's just a little one. My soul can live here. My soul could, you know, maybe I can come to this place and I can live. My soul shall live, verse 20, he said. But listen, sin is sin, no matter. Sin is sin, no matter. Look, verse 30, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to make a point here. Look at verse 30. And Lot, he had already gone to Zoar. He was in Zoar. But here's what happened. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. You know what happened? Where he thought, I could live here. I could be here. I mean, this won't be bad. This is just a little place. It's just a little bit place. It's not like this big old city here that I'm in, Sodom. That's just so wicked. I go over to this little place, and I can. I'm telling you, there's no peace, there's no comfort apart from the mountain, apart from Christ, resting in Christ, trusting in Christ. You know, can I go? And then the Lord told him. He said. Behold, now this city, verse 20, is near, and it's a little one. Let me escape. And verse 20, and he said unto him, see, I've accepted thee concerning this thing also, which I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. You know, there's times when the Lord to teach us, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He teaches. He's going to teach us something. I don't know, and I don't want to, again, I don't want to speak out of place here. But you know, the Lord knows how to humble his own, how to teach his own. The Lord may give us something that we think we want. just to show us. No, that's not what you needed. He may allow us to do something that we think, this is what I want. If I had this, I'd be good. Oh, if I had this, all my troubles would be over. I'd be fine. Okay. Okay. I'll let you have that. I'll let you go. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Where did God tell him to go? Go to the mountain. Can I go to this little city over here? It's just a little one. That my soul can live. I can live there. I can be satisfied there. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute iniquity. Psalm 32:2. The Lord did not cut him off. This was the one that God loved. The one for whom Christ's blood was beheld and shed from the foundation of the world and would be shed in time. This was one for whom Christ would die. This was a just man, justified before God. One God loved and chose, put in his Son. Christ would die. The Spirit of God did regenerate him. When I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. You know the only reason God just didn't wipe him out right then? Because he was in Christ. Lot was no different than any of us. He stumbled just like we all do. He was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. He believed God. He was a just man. He was just. How did we know that he was just? God said he was just. What's the evidence of being just? Faith. Justified by faith. Not your faith justifies you, but it's the evidence of being justified before God. So here was a just man that stumbled and hesitated and lingered. But where faith is found, and God said he was just, so I know faith was there. I know it was there. God said it was there. He was a just man. Where faith is found, though it be as a grain of mustard seed, the Lord beholds it. And according to his eternal will and purpose, according to God's will and purpose, he allowed him to go to Zoar. He's going to learn. But the Lord taught him. The Lord told him in verse 22, haste thee, escape thither. I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Now in closing, I want us to remember something. God's cannot, that's what he said. Haste, verse 22, haste thee thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. I cannot. God's cannot is not the cannot of men. The cannot of men means ability. I mean, we don't have the ability to do it. There's no ability. But with God, there's no inability. There's no inability with God. With God, all things are possible. Nothing. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? With men, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. So when God says cannot with God, all things, it doesn't mean of his being not able to do it. He's Almighty God. He does as he will. The army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. When God declares that he cannot, it's always according to his holy character, his will, his counsel, and his purpose to show mercy to his people. When God says, I cannot, anything that God cannot do, Titus 1:1-2, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Is there anything God cannot do? Scripture says he cannot lie. James 1:13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with sin, with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So when God told Lot, you haste, you leave, I cannot destroy. He's given his word. He's given his word. Eternal life to his people for the glory of his son. When he says, I cannot destroy this place, oh, God can do whatever he wants to do. But he's not going to forsake his word. He has magnified his word. Magnified his word. Zoar was not overthrown for the sake of Lot. And this world remains today, still here, for one reason, because God's got a people here. God's got a people, and he's not going to destroy them. He's not going to judge them. Listen to this. If you want to know why the sun came up today, and if it comes up in the morning, I'll tell you why. It's not because this world is able to sustain itself and the great economy and all this. No, it's because God has purposed. I'm not going to destroy this world with my people in it. He's not going to do it. Now listen to this, 2 Peter. We've read this many times. I'll read this and I'll close. 2 Peter 3, verse 7 to 10. But the heavens and the earth, which now are, by the same word, are kept in store. What does that mean? They're still here. It's still here. This earth is still here. Reserved under the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any of God's elect, of the uswards, should perish, but that all the uswards should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. God would not destroy Sodom until Lot and those that God purposed to be out of that city were gone. You got to get out of here. God's going to destroy it. You move. Lot, ask him, can I go to Zoar? It's just a little one. The Lord said, I'll preserve that city for you. Almighty God is going to save his own. He's going to deliver. Brethren, today is the day of salvation. We don't have tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Cast yourself upon the mercy of God. Call upon him while he's near. If the Spirit of God gives you a heart to do that, you'll do it. I pray he does. Amen.